This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long behind the glass here in studio. Steve Geller will join us a little bit later in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to tell everybody at 420, we'll have Wade Roos on from Golden Meadow, Louisiana. He's now the president of McNeese State. Join us to talk about, and what a wild ride for the Cowboys and winning their first ever a game at tournament time in the 64 region. Got bounced out Saturday, but were able to win that first game Thursday afternoon against Clemson, and the impact of sports on schools itself. And so I thought Wade would be a good person to talk about that. Also, they in the search for a new head coach in basketball, since Will Wade took the job officially over the weekend at North Carolina State. At 4:35, and man, I'm running one hour ahead of time. Matt Miller from ESPN talk NFL draft with us, and have a lot to discuss as the draft is actually 1 month away today. Charlie, the Saints had a couple signings today. Gugomade, who's been with the team 2023, has played nickel dime sets, played on special teams, so he brings a lot of versatility to the table in playing cornerback, but also has played in the nickel, has played in dime coverages. And so you bring in a guy that has played a lot of different positions here on this football team. And then Dylan Radins. And Dylan was a guy I scouted quite a bit at North Dakota State. He's from Minnesota, actually played more defense in high school than he played on offense, and transitioned to being an offensive tackle. Played primarily on the left side for North Dakota State. Got invited to the Senior Bowl, really put on a good performance there, and ended up being a second-round pick of the Tennessee Titans. They found out real quick he had average athletic skills, and when he gets beat, if it's pass blocking or run blocking, it's because somebody outspeeded him, outquicknessed him right off the bat. He's a power player, real physical at the point of attack. He's much better inside. Most likely he will play that left guard position for the Saints, but a guy that is a tough guy inside, very physical, has been known more for his run-blocking skills than as a pass protector. And again, when he gets beat, if it's as a pass protector or a run blocker, Charlie, is because he's got outspeeded and doesn't get his hands on that defender quick enough.
Still think the Saints need to draft offensive line, Mike.
This gives you a depth piece.
Yeah, I agree.
And maybe he's the guy you turn to if you have an injury, but you still looking to upgrade the offensive line. Dylan Radins, or no Dylan Radins, you signed.
The Titans' offensive line last year,
it was bad.
It was rough.
The last couple years has been bad.
That is true as well. And they've tried to address it in the draft as well, spending those top 10 picks on like Peter Skoronski, most recently like J.C. Latham. We'll see if they'll be back in the market.
No, they're going to have to move J.C.
I think they are. I think that's the
He's got to play right tackle. I don't get the putting him at left. It just didn't seem right. He didn't quite have the quickness or the speed element, and we're talking about almost the same sort of situation with Radins. He playing on that left side, and he was playing left tackle. Man, and he got beat big time there. And so I think he's much better on the right side where he can use his girth. And he is a wide load man. He's built like a double wide freezer. I mean, that's how wide he is. And he's a pretty good athlete for that big. But it's his ability to come out that stance quick enough. And when you play tackle, you better get out of that stance quick. And so they got some doings along that offensive line for the Titans also. Whoever's going to play quarterback there.
Yeah, and it's likely going to be Cam Ward, but we'll see.
I think as we get closer, and we'll talk to Matt about it, as it gets closer and closer, the more of the drumbeat is that they have circled the wagons on Cam Ward, and you got a big hole at quarterback. And if you don't figure that out, everything else, you like the dog chasing the car, okay? You get right up to it, but what you going to do when you catch it? You don't have a quarterback there, and they thought maybe Will Levis could be that guy. Did not turn out to be. They rolled for a while with Ryan Tannehill, but, you know, it comes to a point where you say, enough's enough, we got to move on. With Tannehill, he would flash it, and then at times he'd put a ball out there. You say, man, who are you throwing the football to?
Right.
Remember the AFC wild card game when they played against Cincinnati, and he threw up a couple lollipops.
He threw three intercepts. I mean, that was a game where Tennessee's defensive line
they
had
were
nine
unreal
sacks against Joe Burrow, and they still couldn't win that game because of how bad the quarterback play was. And I mean, the quarterback play really hasn't taken a significant step with Will Levis like they were hoping. And I remember Justin Mello of the Draft Network told us this, Mike, that they just can't sell Levis for another year in Tennessee. So all the people, and I've seen it kind of on social media today, that yes, the Saints are going to Miami's pro day. Oh, the interest in Cam Ward. It just feels like Tennessee is maybe just going to stay put, right? And use the number one overall pick and draft their quarterback of the future and take Cam Ward. I have a hard time believing that they'll trade back from that first overall selection.
It better be a godfather deal.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, if you're trying to move up to get that, you're going to have to overpay significantly to get from 9-1 and get your quarterback. So I just don't see it happening. But
and I think they're sending 10 people. I think the Saints are sending 9.
Yeah.
The Titans are sending 10, and I think they had supper with him last night in entertaining Cam Ward. So you can see the interest there. And also, too, they have an owner that she wants all this fixed because they're building a new multi-billion-dollar stadium in Nashville, and you can't sell that. New stadium or not, you better have the quarterback issue settled up. Also, we want to congratulate Jay Clark and the LSU gymnastics team. Back-to-back SEC championships. And so Coach Clark and the Lady Tigers just done a great job. And again, back-to-back SEC championships for them. And at 5 o'clock, Charlie, Kim Mulkey and the Lady Tigers, they play Florida State. Oh, man, they took out the belt and spanked the backside of San Diego State 103-48. But then when you look at Florida State, they beat George Mason 94-59. So it was two big beatdowns by both teams. And that game starts at 5 o'clock in the PMAC.
Yeah, as far as, you know, chalk and March Madness, it's bad in the men's game right now, but it is really, really bad in the women's game right now. All the first round matchups felt like 20-plus, 30-plus, 40-plus point blowouts, especially with those top teams involved. And, you know, if you're looking at this matchup tonight, the winner moves on to play NC State, who's a 2-seed. NC State beat Michigan State in their matchup, the 2-7 matchup, and now they're in the Sweet 16. So LSU and Florida State with a spot in the Sweet 16 on the line tonight. As you mentioned, tip-off is at 5 p.m., and we'll share updates during Sports Talk.
You know, and Coach Mulkey was on with me last Thursday, and one of the things she emphasized was, you know, give them one shot, and that's it. Occasionally, the ball might not bounce you away, and somebody gets a second shot at it, but she thought that was key. Defense travels this time of year, and also second opportunities, trying to limit that. When we come back, we'll have on with us the president of McNeese State University, Wade Roos, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long behind the glass here, coordinating and supervising everything on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from Lake Charles, the president of McNeese State, Wade Roos. Wade, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon, and man, happy birthday.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much for having us on here. It's good to It's good to every once in a while reconnect with an old Bayou Lafourche connection, so we're glad to be on.
Thanks so much. Kind of tell everybody a little bit. I know CBS on their broadcast Saturday was talking about you had sort of come up with an economic figure for what it meant to get all this publicity for McNeese to make it to the 64. Then you win a game Thursday, and, man, I'm trying to do a show with Coach Mulkey, and the game's playing and ending, and I'm getting all these texts. But my mind is concentrated on questioning Coach Mulkey, and then I can't tell you how many people, text me about, man, what a great game and what it does for the state of Louisiana and for McNeese.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to be back in our great state. As you know, I left and I was an economist at the Federal Reserve in Chicago for quite some time, then was Arizona away for 20-something-odd years. I had the opportunity to come play a part back in the great state of Louisiana in higher education, and came back and realized that we have had some disinvestment and we need to start thinking creatively. So 2 years ago, or 2.5 years ago now, I was named executive vice president and athletics coming to me. And as we started developing a strategic plan, the idea was, okay, how do we – again, I probably think too much like an economist, but how do we quantify and make sure that our actions are truly going to drive outcomes? So we started tracking and investing in basketball 2 years ago. And then last year we saw when we made the tournament, we have a what we call advertising equivalency. And it's an algorithm that basically tells us, okay, if you would have to pay to get this many eyeballs on a McNeese logo every time the word McNeese is mentioned, if we had to buy some sort of advertising campaign, they give you an equivalent of that. And the way we figured we could leverage that was through athletics. So actually the UL system now bought the algorithm and is kind of using it throughout all 9 institutions. But for us, over a 7-day period that we ended this morning, we stopped calculating it this morning, we had an $84.7 million advertising equivalency. Obviously, my advertising budget is about $250,000.
So I was going to say, who's cutting that $84 million check?
Yeah, so that's a big – no, it's not an $84 million check. But the way we think about it and how does that become outcomes is we track it to our webpage, right? So we think, okay, if we can get people onto our webpage and if they're actually going to click on what we define as meaningful clicks, which is either about us or apply now, those are the two hot buttons on our webpage, then we say, okay, they're really digging and maybe that can drive enrollment. Given the current structure of higher education, enrollment's where your revenue's at, and our motto and our methodology last year, we flipped enrollment. We were up 3% in the fall for the first time in 15 years. I gave a lot of credit to that because of our run, because of this process and this intentional plan that we put in place last year. We were up 3.6% or 7% in the spring. That was the first time in 15 years. And currently, our applications for the fall are up over 10%. For us to be able to capture this exposure and this enormous amount of advertising equivalency, then we have to see it all come all the way to enrollment. And we're pretty optimistic when you see the application numbers truly elevating on a daily basis throughout the last 7 days. So we're pretty optimistic that when it's all said and done, we can develop a model that truly shows causation, not just association, in terms of an economist talk that our actions and our plan that put in place had a causal relationship to drive enrollment, and that's what it's all about for us because that's where the revenue's at.
Wait, I had this conversation with Tim Rebo, and I've always felt McNeese in the state of Louisiana was the sleeping giant. You sit right on the border, so to speak, where you pulling, people that go to McNeese, not only from Louisiana, but you're a stone's throw away from Texas. And so, man, we can talk about from a sports standpoint, that's big, but also from a student standpoint that you're pulling from both states here. And I've always felt that the McNeese Cowboys and McNeese State University, they were the sleeping giant. If there was one in the state of Louisiana, it's there because of where you located.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's funny you say that. We just put in a strategic plan in place where it says you know, we want to be the premier. I mean, our vision is to be the premier regional university in all of Louisiana and Southeast Texas. So we realize that's our service area, and we want to be the best there is in all of that. And our, you know, our mission is to provide a life-changing higher educational experience. So I could not agree with you more. We're positioned in a geographically in an area that is also economically pretty vibrant. I mean, if you take the five parish area in Southwest Louisiana, you can't go get five other parishes, no matter how you put them together, that has better GDP growth in the last 3 or 4 years. Now, a lot of that is because of the capital injection from our LNG industry, but I mean, that goes all the way into our university and how do we develop to make sure we continue to develop talent for that industry. So to your point, yeah, we're sort of blessed with being in a hot economic part of the state, and we plan on capitalizing on that as a university.
Yeah, the natural gas industry to me is something here that, and you know, if you got the right people in place, I think would be such a huge boom for the state of Louisiana. Now you're in a spot because of success, and I got told this by an old athletic director years ago, I'd much rather have a coach everybody's after than have one no one's after, because that means we ain't winning. So you in a spot today, and you have an athletic director who's got some background, certainly in coaching basketball, that now you're in the search. But with the transfer portal opening up today, it's pretty imperative that I would think that you guys are going to do this pretty quickly in hiring a successor to Will Wade.
Absolutely, Mike. We've had a plan going on for the last 2 years. Will has been a phenomenal coach, but more importantly, a better person. A lot of people don't realize that. I consider him a dear, dear friend. I mean, he flew back on the team playing with us. He could have went straight to NC State, decided he wanted to make sure and come tie up all the loose ends, do the right thing, put a bow on it, make everything perfectly fine. I talked to him 2 times today. Just an amazing human being, as well as a pretty dang good coach. We've had a succession plan in place for the last year, and we are moving on that pretty quickly, and we'll probably have an announcement before the end of the week on who will be the next coach and keep the momentum going. One thing I would say, Mike, is that we don't run from the portal. We may not necessarily agree with it, but we don't get to define the world that we're living in, right? We don't get to play a part in that. We've got to embrace it and try to win depending on what arena we're in. I mean, if we're playing football, we're not going to walk out there with a basketball outfit on or basketball. So the same thing in this case, you got to embrace the portal. It's the world we're in. So, you know, we're evaluating everybody that entered the portal today, and how do we keep the folks that are here and to build a team next year to make this same kind of exposure. Because, again, this is way more than basketball. This is way more of it than football. This is about using our core competencies in South Louisiana, which is experiences, right? We love to be around people. We love crawfish balls. We love community. That's not the case in Chicago and Arizona and some of the other places I've been. So we use this as an idea. Okay, how do we leverage this core competency to get people excited? And in South Louisiana, athletics and theater are two areas that we're investing in because it really brings the community together. So, again, it's so much more important than just what's grabbing the headline today. It's about using this to allow us to attract that marginal student. I've said it over and over that maybe in Jennings or maybe in Beaumont, Texas, that's not really thinking about McNeese. They get on this campus. We provide them an education that truly changes their lives, and their lives are changed forever. Their kids' lives are changed forever, and so on down the road. So we're looking to attract that future chemical engineer that's in the rural areas of Southwest Louisiana and bring them on our campus, attract them through the excitement of athletics and theater and some of the arts that's going on our campus, truly get them on our campus, give them a great education, get them a job, and get their life changed. I mean, that's what it's all about to us. We measure success. All of this has a very calibrated outcome, and that is placement rates of our students and starting salaries. So none of this is worth anything if it doesn't result in outcomes of placement rates and starting salaries. And that's the way we think about it.
Wade, I'm going to get you back on. We can talk a lot more about the economic impact and what sports does to a school. And also, you know, for a lot of people, even that are from the Bayou or from the River Parish area, and they might not want to stay close to home. And, you know, McNeese is a far enough ride for them that they away from home. Maybe, you know, they want to kind of be away from everything and sort of be on their own. They got people like that. You know, it doesn't really matter.
Yep.
And so, man, I want to have that longer conversation with you. But, man, I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Wish you guys the best of luck. And, man, I was so thrilled to see at the end of that game when you ended up winning it. But then I saw you jumping around. Man, I was like, man, I'd live a long time. I didn't think I could see you have that vertical leap like that.
Yeah, I think we pulled a hammy. We might have pulled a hammy right there. But it was really exciting. Great day for our university, Mike. Just a great day for our university and how that we realize we can use the athletic side to truly elevate the academic side of our university. So thank you so much for having us on.
Thanks so much, Wade. I appreciate it. And we'll definitely give you a call back to have you on because I want to talk the economics side of this a little bit more. So thanks for being on with us and a happy birthday to you. The president of McNeese State University, Wade Roos. When we come back, we'll have on with us Matt Miller from ESPN talking NFL draft right after this break. We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettey along with Charlie Long. While we're still trying to get in touch with Matt Miller, let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie. Sound like we got a bad connection with James. Let's try Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, what's up, Mike and Charlie?
What's up, Jimmy? How'd you like the tournament, man, this weekend?
Hey, man, I was expecting more Cinderellas. Of course, I'm glad McNeese got that one win and put them on the map. The trainer's making big money now.
How about
Lake
that?
Lake Charles, Southland Conference. Speaking of Southland Conference, Nicholls State tomorrow, Mike. Nicholls State baseball is playing my number 13 in the nation, Southern Miss Golden Eagles, in Biloxi at the Shucker Stadium. So anybody down the bayou, any Southern Miss fans, go out to Biloxi tomorrow night. They're playing at the Biloxi Shuckers Stadium, a special Tuesday night neutral site baseball game. Southern Miss is now 13. We're catching up, Charlie, to LSU. And again, $1 tickets for tonight. For anybody looking for something to do, there's only a few more Pelicans games. But, yeah, Mike, Charlie, we're $1 tickets. I got to give credit again to Zion. When he has been playing the last 6-7 weeks, he's been balling out in a season that's been full of disappointment. My question to you guys is, what's the timeline on Trey Murphy's injury? Is it going to go into the beginning of next season?
That one I'm not sure of, but I did talk to an orthopedic surgeon that told me he thought there was a good chance he could be back right at the start of the upcoming season. But he said he did tell me it would be close. But, you know, him not having done the surgery and knowing, you know, every little intricacy of it, he did think that was a pretty good chance he could be back before the start of the 2025-2026 season. And, man, with Nicholls State, you know, and I was talking to Coach about this, you know, man, you talk about a clearing of the roster at Nicholls. I mean, it's almost name tag time where, you know, you got to wear the name tags for the coach to figure it all out. But, man, Southern Miss, you got to give them credit, Jimmy. They have done a fantastic job recruiting, and you in some heavy competition for baseball players. And they have made it work in really, really big time. I know Charlie keeps up with it a lot more than I do with it. But, man, you got to be impressed with what almost year in, year out, Southern Miss has been able to produce out on the baseball field. And these aren't the 4- and 5-star baseball players. These are the 2s and 3s. And look what they've accomplished so far. So impressed what's happened at Southern Miss. Now let's hope, with the new head football coach, he can do the same sort of thing, and I think he'll use the portal quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Sun Belt likes to kind of puff their chest, and, you know, Raging Cajun fan right here, so I love doing it too, as kind of the fifth power conference in baseball, so to speak. And now it's kind of the Power Four because the Pac-12 is dissolved. It's every single year, there's always a team or two that are kind of in the back end of the top 25. This year, it's been Troy. Troy's gotten off to a really hot start. My Cajuns, though, Mike, it's been rough going early on. 11-14 this year, 3-3 in Sun Belt play. So not the start that we were hoping for. But, you know, LSU will play them tomorrow. in a midweek matchup. So looking forward to that at least.
Thanks so much for the call, Jim. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Charles in Metairie. Charles, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are y'all?
All right, Charles. How you been, bud?
Good, good. Look, I just want to bring this up. I mean, you know, right now it's March Madness and everything, and, you know, watching the game's been great. And just, you know, watching other SEC teams representing the Southeastern Conference, making it to the Sweet 16. And it just, you know, it blows my mind the state of LSU men's basketball right now, where we're at. You know, it just want to get you guys, your guys' opinion if this is more of, you know, the AD slash coaching as well, because it just seems that we have regressed with the men's program. You know, it used to be, I remember when I was younger, LSU was automatically in the March Madness every year, you know, and it was a proud program. And I think now, you know, it's like we finished second to last place this year, you know, and it just seems like we've been going backwards, and I don't think they've been really paying much attention to the men's basketball program. And I think I read today like two or three guys already hitting the transfer portal. It just seems like it's been very toxic of late and very disappointing, I think, for the fan base and the program. You know, it used to be a relevant program. Now it's, you know, you see these other schools, Alabama, Auburn, you know, they, Ole Miss, you know, not only is it a football school, but, you know, their men's basketball program is consistently every season, you know, in the tournament and, you know, going deep in the tournament.
Yeah, Charles, listen, I'm with you on that. You know, and I know Matt pretty well, and but this is on a slippery slope here. And you see what happened at Ole Miss. And Chris Beard takes that over, and you, whatever you want to think about him,
he can coach
away from the basketball court. That dude has turned that program around. And you see the powerhouses built now at an Auburn, at Alabama, to Tennessee, Florida. And you're like, whoa, why isn't it happening here? They've You know, now the talk is, well, we're going to filter more portal money or NIL money to the men's basketball. What did it take this to have it figured out? Come on, you were doing it in baseball. You're doing it in football. You do it in women's basketball, but you're not doing it in men's basketball? I don't get that. And I'm 100% agreement with you. You know, sort of remembering the 70s and what Dale Brown was able to build there, and we've seen it kind of hit the highs and lows. But, man, this has taken a real slippery slide for LSU's men basketball. And you can sugarcoat it all you want. Bottom line is Matt McMahon has not done a good job as head coach of the LSU basketball team. No matter how you cut it, say, oh, well, when Will Wade left the team, you know, how more than most guys left. Okay, that happens everywhere when a coach leaves. That's not an excuse anymore. And I see some of them using it for LSU football, the exact same way. But Matt's got 1 year to get this straight, and he better get it right in the portal. That's all I can say. If not, you'll be starting all new again, and when you change coaches, you change a big part of your roster.
But look at a couple programs in the SEC. You already mentioned Chris Beard with Ole Miss, Mike, but, I mean, Mark Pope goes to Kentucky. He's got them in the Sweet 16 year one. John Calipari leaves Kentucky, goes to Arkansas. It's like a win-win for both programs. They're both in the Sweet 16. As to Charles, to your point, 14 of the 16 SEC teams made the NCAA tournament field of 68. The only teams that didn't were South Carolina and LSU. I know Texas lost in the first four, so they didn't technically get into the field of 64.
And what happened to that coach?
Terry Rodney gets fired.
Bang.
But as far as McMahon goes, look, year one, they called it like a year zero. That's fine. Whatever. A lot of turnover. You're not expecting great things in that first year with Coach McMahon. Year two, they made that step, right? And you get up to 9-9 in SEC play. And you're feeling pretty good entering year three. It felt kind of like a make or break year for Coach McMahon this year. And it just, talk about a free fall. It just didn't work.
If he wouldn't have been hired by Scott Woodard, he wouldn't be employed today. I'm just telling you the truth.
I don't disagree. And so now you're looking at this LSU basketball program. They're sticking with Coach McMahon. they think that basically throwing more money at it will solve it. I need to see it to believe it, Mike, because you're seeing some of these coaches have great success early on in their 10 years with these SEC programs. The SEC is a gauntlet now. Whatever our coworker likes to say about how quote-unquote overrated they are, they have seven teams in the Sweet 16. Seven. I mean, it's a huge leap from where SEC basketball was a couple years ago. It used to be like the ACC was the powerhouse. Now it's shifted. It's shifted towards the SEC.
Charlie,
so you have to figure out a way to get in that number.
Aren't we seeing this? Kim Mulkey brought this up to me when I talked to her about women's basketball in the Southeast Conference, and she was like, Mike, just take a look at it. How the shift has went from west, east to the south. If it's football, if it's baseball, if it's basketball, men and women.
Mike, for me growing
she's
up
right.
In the NCAA tournament, I kind of grew up with like UNC and Duke and Virginia, right? And like these traditional powers, NC State would kind of throw their hat in the ring sometimes. Out of the ACC was like the controlling force. This year, when you look at the 2-1 seeds in Auburn and Florida that are already in the Sweet 16 looking for deeper runs, you're looking at the 2-2 seeds in Alabama and Tennessee already in the Sweet 16, a 10 seed with Coach Calipari in Arkansas making the Sweet 16. What Coach McMahon needs to do is to get in the number. And I don't know if he can, really, if I'm being honest with you, just because it's so tough in the SEC right now.
And what to turn it in 1 year, Charlie, it ain't going to happen. I'm telling you.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just like all of it's now going to be on year four. You've put all your chips into the center of the table. You made the step in year two. You took a big step backwards. And now you're hoping that you can take a major leap forwards in year four. I just don't know, Mike.
I agree with you totally. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody that at 5:40, we didn't get a chance to talk a lot about it. But I know, Charlie, you and I talked about this Wednesday. Man, Texas has got a damn good team, and they are well coached. And, man, after the first game I was, man, did I maybe misread that? I didn't. LSU helped, too. Their pitching was El Lauzio, and their fielding was every bit as bad in games 2 and 3 against the Longhorns.
It's really kind of the worst possible timing. Now, I will say this. Them cratering from number 2 to number 8 in
that's
D1 baseball's poll, that feels kind of insulting in all honesty. Look, I know they didn't play their best series, but losing 2 of 3 in Austin against a top 10 opponent, that's kind of harsh.
And it's early in the season, yeah. So don't overreact. We'll be back with more Sports Talk right after this news break on the Big 870.